never could you find a hamza which is pronounced with tafkhim.
Mm-hmm.
Alif al-mat could be pronounced with tafkhim, but not hamza, the letter hamza.
That's right.
Okay, so we have to pronounce the hamza with tarqiq, but we have to pronounce the ra with tafkhim. And
right.
Also the lad with tafkhim.
Thickness.
With thickness. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. Now, we have several letters of tafkhim in these verses, especially the second verse. وَأَخْ The kha has tafkhim because it is a letter of istirla. The degree of the tafkhim is not so much because the kha is sakin. It has a sukun. It is unvoweled.
Yeah, so it's the second lowest level.
Kha. We have the second lowest level of tafkhim. Mm-hmm. And we said that in order to actually apply the second lowest level of tafkhim, we basically pronounce the letter of istirla without changing the shape of the lips.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The lips are in a neutral position. They're not spread. They're not open vertically. They're just in a neutral position.
Wa akh
rajatil arḍu. Again, we have a wad and also ra with tafkhim. And finally, we have qaf with tafkhim with an aliful med.
Athqal.
With a long vowel alif. And so we have the highest level of tafkhim for the qaf. Athqalaha. وقال ال again we have وقال ال وقال الإنسان ما لها. You know, when you keep on pronouncing letters with tarqiq and tafkhim right after another,
it makes a kind of wave.
It's a wave, yeah, and it's like an earthquake. Earthquake is like, you know, it has a wave, so it reminds us of that as well. It's not, you know, monotonous, and it's not just tarqiq. We keep having tafkhim tarqiq. We, you know, it alternates between tafkhim and tarqiq.
وَقَالَ
الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. So we keep having tafkhim tarqiq. This makes this surah very beautiful and rhythmic. Just like I said, it's like the wave, like
That's
you
right.
said, like of an earthquake. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ. We have a rule of Nun Sakina here, which is...
Because we have a Tanween here.
Yes, we have a Tanween, so we have a rule of Nun Sakina, because Tanween and Nun Sakina are...
The same.
Essentially the same. Because a Tanween is, in fact, a short vowel plus a Nun Sakina.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of writing the Nun Sakina, they write the same short vowel twice.
That's right.
Okay, on top of each other. So, we have two Kasras... We have a tanween of kasra followed by ta, which is a letter of ikhfa.
Concealment.
And as a result, we have to pronounce the nun sakin of the tanween with ikhfa. We have to approximate the place of articulation of the next letter and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. See, you don't place the tongue in the place of articulation of ta. You don't say, يَوْمَئِذٍ. See, it gets really close, but it doesn't touch. And the sound is a lot different.
Yeah, we are not making noon sound completely.
Yes, the nasalization is partial.
Mm-hmm.
It's anthemi, it's oronasal. It's half, actually, it's mostly in the nose, and some of it also comes from the mouth.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
تقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان، إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان. هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to all our listeners. This is Iran Radio, broadcasting from Tehran, and I'm your host for the next hour. Hope you will accompany us into the early hours of this morning. Here are some interesting facts about Islam. There are an estimated 1.8 billion Muslims in the world, which is about 1.5% of the world's population. Due to birth and conversion rates, Islam is considered to be the fastest growing religion in the world today. We start this hour's lineup with our varied radio productions feature that will be followed by The Last Savior. The program discusses the occultation of Imam of the Age, the promised Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, the culture of waiting, and much more. And our final program this hour is Youth Station, a program all about young people, covering topics all related to the youth. Stay with us for the next hour.
Our researchers whose work quietly shapes the future of how machines see and understand the world. They bridge the gap between abstract algorithms and real-world applications, pushing boundaries in fields like deep learning, computer vision, and intelligent document processing. My guest today is one such innovator, an academic and practitioner whose contributions span both cutting-edge research and impactful industry collaborations. With a passion for pattern recognition and a commitment to advancing AI education, he continues to inspire the next generation of scientists and engineers. Welcome to SORP. I am Bahman Ray.
Yusri Kesentini is an associate professor at the Digital Research Center of ESFAX in Tunisia, where he leads the Deep Vision research team. With a PhD in pattern recognition from the University of Rouen, France, and an engineering degree from the National Engineering School of ESFAX, his work centers on deep learning, computer vision, and document image processing. He has authored over 60 publications and actively collaborates with industry on technology transfer projects.
Dr. Yusri Kesentini, very good to have you on this program.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm honored to be with you today. Thank you.
It's a great pleasure, actually, to have you here in Iran as well. What are some, if you are going to mention some key milestones or breakthroughs you have achieved in document image processing?
Yeah, I participate in many competition, international competition. For example, in my PhD, I have participated in a competition on Arabic handwriting, Arabic recognition, and I have I was ranked in top three, I think, with my system. Uh-huh. Giving that participant is of high level. There is Google. There is some big company.
From the time that you were a student, or is it after you had come back to Tunisia?
No, this is was in my PhD. Uh-huh. When I conduct my PhD, and now we continue to work, for example, in named entity information extraction from documents. So we have also participated in a challenge how to extract some information from records, marriage records, for example, historical marriage records. Yeah. And here there is a transcription stage, and we need to combine with NLP, natural language processing techniques, to understand the text and extract some named entity, like name of person, locations, dates. Here also we are ranked in top one in this competition. We have some interesting for document enhancement. Also, we compare our result using generative artificial intelligence. We have working with GAN, generative adversarial networks, diffusion models, and we have very good results that are compared to the best results in the world in these applications.
And have you ever, your research, has it ever involved AI and translation? Because that's also my field, and I want to know.
Yeah, we don't work on translation, but translation, I think, can be as a post-processing after the transcription. If we get the text, we can after use some NLP tools to transcribe the model to other the output, the text, or to other language.
So it would be a good idea to work on that together.
Yeah.
I'm trying to steal you and your expertise for my own studies. Very good. And tell me something, how did you begin working with industry partners on technology transfer projects?
Yeah, this is the idea of our research center. When we create our research center, because before in Tunisia, most research laboratory work just to publish the result of their PhD in some conference, some journals. But we take a decision in our research center that we think that research must impact our socio-economical environment. And we start, this is a strategy that we have adopted, that we need to collaborate with companies to do this. And we started, in the beginning it was difficult because it is not common to collaborate between researcher and company. So the first project was difficult to convince the partner to work on with the researcher on this kind. But after, when they see the success of the project, and it become more easy. And now we have many projects with company, because we are now known that our digital center work with high quality with company. So it is more easy to be involved in this kind of projects.
So you kind of provided the industry with the missing link, so that you kind of facilitated future research.
Exactly.
That's very interesting, Doctor. Yeah, very good. And of course, it's a pleasure to have you here, because you were part of the, as I said, the sixth edition of Mustafa Prize. The scientists from all over the Islamic world get together every year. And that's a pleasure to have you as one of them here on SOAP, on our show.
Thank you.
Very good. Tell me something. What do you enjoy most about mentoring students?
Yeah. It's a good work, I think. I like it, because sometimes we have some students, some PhD students that come without any knowledge in artificial intelligence, in document images, and we need to coach them to have sometimes many skills to conduct their PhD. And our goal in the Digital Research Center is not only to publish. It's the most important is not the quantity of how many publication, but the quality. So we try to publish in high quality conference and journals. So there is a ranking of conference and review. So most of our publication are in Q1 journals, ranked journals, A-class conference, so we try to improve the quality. And this is amazing because you see how the PhD student improve his skills month after month, and for the supervisor is a great result also. When my PhD student come to his end of the PhD, it is a pleasure for me also because I see the results of works of how many years concretize it in this day.
And it basically becomes part of your journey.
Yeah.
And of course, your research center has had so many collaborations with commercial applications. Can you name some of the most important, significant examples of those?
Yeah. In the Deep Field Vision team, we work on document image, but not only document image. So we work on different multimedia data. So we work on satellite images. This is in the context of smart agriculture. So we work on monitoring of olive tree in Tunisia, because Tunisia is very famous by olive tree. We have large crops of olive tree.
Black and green?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we are the third producer of oil, olive oil in the world.
Wow.
In Tunisia. So we need to provide some artificial intelligence tools for monitoring these crops, for detect some disease, for to control irrigation. So this is also part of our works. We work also on scene images in context of video surveillance, for example, how to detect persons, how to detect license plate in the vehicle, in Tunisian vehicle, and recognize them after. So we have many, many projects in these different application of images.
Very pragmatic.
Yeah.
They are, of course. And, of course, how has your role as an NVIDIA DLI instructor and an ambassador shaped your outreach efforts?
Yeah, I'm NVIDIA instructor and ambassador since 2018.
Okay.
To be instructor, there is many steps that you need to conduct with NVIDIA to be sure that you have the skills to be instructor. And as an instructor, I deliver many training sessions for student, for academic, for industrial, also in Tunisia. It is a training session, generally of today, on different topic of artificial intelligence. It is a certified training. So it means we use a platform of NVIDIA. All the work is in the cloud of NVIDIA. And the final step, there is an assessment that participant must conduct to get their certificate. So. This is the goal of
Right. Well, Dr. Yusri Kesantini, I wanted to continue the conversation, but I got the cue that we have to end because of time. like to really thank you for being with us. But towards the end of the show, you always get like a couple of minutes to talk directly to our audience. So for these 1 or 2 minutes, our audience are going to become yours.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm very happy to be with you in Iran. It is a very interesting opportunity to participate to the Mostafa Awards, because we connect with Islamic researcher. It is very interesting, I think. I hope that I come back to Iran many, many other times.
Of course, we hope the same thing happens, and we'll see you back many times. Thank you so much for your time, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for sharing this time with us. Until next time, it's goodbye from me, Bahman Rai.
It's too late. If you haven't spoken up yet, it might be too late for you. This is your call to say something and not let history judge you for what you should have done.
There once was a day when we were shadows in the street, paper-thin excuses crumbling at our feet. Screens glowed brightly, selling fear and doubt. The truth bled quietly, seldom spoken out. But today it's on the news again that the Zionist entity has murdered Palestinians and burned their city. Savagery is in their blood, genocide their game. The world is watching live as they enter the Hall of Shame. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history. Should have done to save humanity. It's too late. Oh, it's too late. Oh, it's too late. America gives the go-ahead, then it sends in bombs. Israel calls it self-defense and murders without qualms. Since when has killing children become a source of pride? Silence must be broken if you want to turn the tide. It's time we made the right choice, our lives may be on the line. It's time we raised our voice, chanting free, free Palestine. The police can do what they want to do, detain one or two. But thousands of millions are coming through, a move they cannot undo. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history for what we should have done to save humanity. It's too late.
us a savior.
Oh, the savior of mankind, please show us a savior.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Oh, light of Allah, you are our true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and a very warm welcome. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. I'm your host, Zainab. And we have our special guest, Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Alavi is a scholar in the House of Ilmi Afkom and has expertise in the field of Mahdawiyat. Well, about the advent of Imam, while everyone is waiting so eagerly, there's one thing that most of the people eagerly want to know is the time of Imam's arrival. But Dr. Alavi, you know, we have had in history, like, whosoever declares the timing of Imam's arrival is kazzab, is someone who is a liar. So at the same time, those who declare the time, for example, there are also some statements that say that Imam is going to come on Friday. It's going to be a Friday. Or some say it's going to be Ashura. Or it's going to be one of the Qadrs in Ramadan. So how do you comment on that?
Before explaining and answering this question, actually, I want to say that we have no fight on the terminology. I mean, whatever term we want to say. We are expecting for the truth to come. So
right,
this truth can come anytime.
Yeah.
So either it's going to be on Friday, Sunday, Monday. So this truth, I mean, what is important is the
arrival
truth,
of this
the
truth
arrival
itself.
Of this truth. I mean,
yeah,
the important thing is the Imam himself, the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth.
Right.
So if we have different timings in hadith, it doesn't actually necessarily bring us any chaos here.
Right.
So, but inshallah, we shall even discuss that what they mean, and we can find even a collection. We can even collect between all these dates and times that have been mentioned.
Right.
But does it actually a sort of clarifying or a sort of appointing a time, a certain time for the arrival of Imam alayhi salam?
Mm.
No. When they are saying, I mean, when the famous hadith tells us, وَكَذَّبَ الْوَقَّاتُونَ, those who clear or appoint a date, a certain date for the arrival of Imam alayhi salam, are liars.
Mm-hmm.
Are the ones that, for example, they say, okay, for example, in October 26, such a day, Imam alayhi salam is going to reappear. So specifying a certain time for the arrival of Imam alayhi salam, this is among the ones who are lying.
Right.
That they want to actually mislead us. I want the respected listeners to distinguish between some terms.
Okay.
First is the concept of Advent itself, Advent.
Okay.
Or reappearance. Advent, we use it for the same purpose or for the same word of Dhuhur. We
right.
interpret Dhuhur as reappearance or
Advent of
Imam alayhi
salam. Yeah.
And this Advent by itself has, again, two categories.
Yeah.
Public Advent and private Advent.
Private
so
Advent,
we,
yeah.
We talk about public Advent of Imam alayhi salam. That
right.
is regarded for the public.
Right.
Second, we want to talk about the time of the divine call.
Yeah.
That introduces Imam alayhi salam, that happens in a month of Ramadan.
Right.
Which is, again, among the signs of the advent of Imam alayhi salam. Moreover, we want to talk about another term, which is the Qiyam, the revolution of Imam alayhi salam.
Okay.
The day that this revolution starts. So when we talk about all these elements and all
right.
these terms, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are specifying a certain time.
Okay.
We are waiting for a certain time in future that in such days, such events are going to happen and occur.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean specifying a certain time.
Right.
Specifying a certain time is something that you say, okay, in this exactly, for example, in the year 200...
When you give the approximate thing.
Yeah, in the year 225, for example, in Saturday, in such an hour, Imam Ali Salam will emerge.
Okay.
But well, again, inshallah, I try to classify and define all these terms one by one.
Yeah. We'll expand them after a short break.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this
Welcome back. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. Dr. Ali Alavi is with us. We're not trying to specify the time, but we are talking about those who specify the time for the arrival of Imam. So we have classified it like some who specify it very, very approximately that Imam is going to come on this particular day at this particular time and on this particular date. These are liars. But to say like one of the signs of Imam's arrival is a divine call that will happen in Ramadan is not a lie. It's a kind of sign itself. So you said that you are going to expand some of more terms one by one. So we are okay. Eager to listen.
First, about the general advent or appearance of Imam alayhi salam.
Yeah.
So what is this? Look, the difference between the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt and others is that we believe that Imam alayhi salam is already alive. Yeah. Right? Some believe that Imam will come to this world later on. So when is this date? No one knows.
Yeah.
So they have no date for this time that Imam alayhi salam is. And we believe that, okay, the time before his revolution, he has already been introduced to the world, but not under the name of Mahdi, for example. Right. So this is what we call it a general advent of Imam alayhi salam.
Okay.
How do we claim so? Because when Imam alayhi salam, we have based on some narrations, when Imam alayhi salam is actually starting his revolution or introduces himself in Mecca, majority of people say, okay, we have already known this person. So it means that this person has already been known by people.
Yeah.
So it means that he is someone that is already, to some extent, known by majority of the people.
So there's this general advent.
This is the general. But no one knows actually who this person is first.
Yeah.
Second, the divine call. We have in the hadith that there is a divine call, what we call it Sayha. This Sayha happens when? In the 23rd of Ramadan. In the night of 23rd of Ramadan. So this is, again, a call that introduces Imam alayhi salam. Look, this is before the revolution of Imam alayhi salam. Right. Before starting his Qiyam and revolution.
Okay.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces it in anyone in his own word, in his own language.
Okay.
Right? So this happens, and it's famous that even in some hadith say that again, right after this call, there is a false call that is following this call, for example, after some hours.
Yeah.
What we have been recommended to take care of the first call, to listen to the first call rather than the second one.
Yeah.
Right? So this is a divine call. So it happens in the 23rd of Ramadan.
Right.
Again, there is a date for the starting, the beginning of the revolution of Imam al-Islam.
Yeah.
What day should it be? Based on some hadith, it is going to be in a day of Ashura.
Yeah.
Why? Because Imam al-Islam comes to take what?
Revenge.
To take revenge of his grandfather Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He comes with this motto.
Yeah.
Why did Imam Hussein alayhi salam came to this world and start his revolution? Again, to spread justice.
Right.
Imam alayhi salam came to help the religion of the Prophet to get revived and to make some modifications and, let's say, reforms in the revolution of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Right.
So he comes after the same purpose that so that this time that Imam alayhi salam has selected for his revolution is in what? In a day of Ashura.
True.
So this Ashura might occur or might coincide with a Jum'ah day.
Right.
Right? So it's not possible. So I want to say, if you want to look at it collectively, it is possible. So let me get back to the first point that I said at the beginning of my explanations. Suppose that any of these dates are going to be, not exactly in the same order that I was saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any change in the belief itself and the concept of the intibar
advent itself
and the expectation of Imam alayhi salam in the
to
advent of
coming,
Imam alayhi salam.
Yeah.
So we are waiting for a savior, for a promised savior that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it has been promised in Al-Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that innal ardi yaritha ibadiy as-salihun.
Right.
So we are expecting for such a person.
Yeah. So we explore more points after a short break. Dear listeners, we hope you are listening to us and we'll be back in a while. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. Dr. Ali Alavi is with us. So we're saying that we're talking about the timings of the arrival of Imam. We distinguish who are the liars, who are not. And now we reached a conclusion that the timing in itself may be not much more important. What is important is the truth itself, like the advent of Imam himself, his coming is something that is more to be focused on or important.
Some of the dates that we read in the narrations,
yeah,
like for example the date of, for example, 23rd of Ramadan, or the a certain day of Ashura, or a certain day of Jum'ah that Imam alayhi salam repairs, they are not going to be under those narrations of Makadhab al-Waqatun. Those who specify a date are among the liars.
Right.
So this kind of specifying a date is quite different with the other one.
Right.
The other one, I mean, when a person says that, okay, Imam alayhi salam in a certain time will appear, so this is a false. This is lie.
Yeah.
So the person is lying when he specifies a certain date.
Right.
But we say, no, Imam alayhi salam in future, for example, I don't know, next year or 100 years after this, or maybe 1,000 years after this, will appear in a certain Jum'ah day. So it's not going to be specifying a certain date.
Okay.
So I want to say that this kind of actually specifying dates is quite valid because it has been taken from the language of narrations and hadith.
Yeah.
And we can collect between all these things. I mean, at the time of Sayha or Divine Call, at the time of beginning of Revolution of Imam Ali Islam, the time of even the advent of Imam Ali Islam, that no one knows exactly and clearly when it happened.
Yeah.
But some can understand it due to the strong senses that they have, due to, strong piety or strong faith that they have in themselves.
Right.
They can sense and feel it. And also being a certain Jum'ah day is also, again, possible because, this Jum'ah can coincide with a Ashura day. So they can coincide together and this can be together. So, again, the last point that we mentioned, again, in previous part of our discussion, we want to say that we have no, actually, insistence on having any of these dates to matter for us.
Yeah.
That, for example, it has to be exactly Friday and not Saturday.
Yeah.
We have been hearing, because they are not among the definite signs of the advent of Imam alayhi salam.
Right.
In some narrations, they have been mentioned that in such a day, Imam alayhi salam will come.
Okay.
But if it has been said, okay, this Friday is among the certain and, let's say, definite time that Imam is going to emerge, yes, we could take it very seriously. So I want to say that we have no insistence to claim all these dates are going to be in the exact timing that has been mentioned in hadith and narrations. And so, again, as I said, this knowledge of understanding hadith is something that is quite complicated. And
very
powerful
mastery.
Scholars are needed to actually talk and discuss. But we want to say that we are all waiting for the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Indeed.
To come and to establish justice.
Yes.
And to help the poor. And to help those who are under oppression. And to fight with corruption and immoralities.
Yes.
So this is that we have in common with others. And hopefully, inshallah, we'll be waiting and we'll be seeing the arrival of such beautiful entity.
Inshallah. May Allah hasten the reappearance of our noble Imam. Thank you so much for all those valuable insights. Thank you, the listeners, for listening patiently. And we hope, we get some comments from some of the listeners that they make notes of the Mahdawiyat from this program. And we hope these lectures help a lot because these lectures contain a research of a couple of books. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being with us. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian Voice. This is IRIB English Radio.
Start. Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pitch.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم to all of you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Youth Station. This is Nahid having the honor of being with you, and here with me I have the pleasure of being with my very dear sister
Masuma. How are you?
Great. How about you?
Everything is nice. I have been in some societies that they pray a lot, and it's very nice. They pray to God, but they don't take any important step for it. For example, regarding marriage, they're like, you should pray for a very, you know, happy marriage. And then I understand, yes, you have to, because a big part of it is not in your hand, but that does not mean that you should not take any step.
Right.
And in some other cultures I have seen, that they sometimes forget praying at all. They think all the burden of big responsibilities and successes is on their own little shoulders. And they forget that they can pray. They can do their own effort and then leave the rest on God.
You mean there is no balance? Some cultures are just surrounding themselves with dua and prayer.
Yes.
While others are rejecting this role and are just going alone.
Rejecting, forgetting, I would say, because they are God believers. They are Muslims. They're very nice. But sometimes they forget that, dear brother and sister, you're not alone on this earth.
Yeah, they feel like they're left.
Yeah, that they have to do everything on their own. And it's really interesting how different people make different du'as. Some are always scared, making du'a of, oh God, please protect me, please protect me, please protect me. Some other are very optimistic and they're, God, I know you're going to bless me. I know you're going to bless me. And it's very interesting how different people talk different to God. And if we ever have time to check how scholars, people who are close to us because they have lived, you know, around our eras, when we read their du'as, how they talk to God, it's amazing. It's beautiful.
Yeah, now that you were mentioning, I remembered some friends of mine, they're Arabs, and seeing the difference in culture, like they are believers of Allah, and the way they call him, the way they call Allah, the way they call their own creator. Now, those literally words that they use, like, I don't know, the light of my eye.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, the beauty of my soul. The way they call their creator is really fascinating to me. I mean, in our cultures, we do have it the same way. We have poets and we have prose writers who use wonderful phrases. But since we got used to our own culture, our own literature, sometimes we're not aware that our culture is talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. But once we see the other cultures and we start comparing, we see, wow, how beautifully people are calling him.
And when we are encountering all these differences, I think the best way to learn, the best method of talking to God would be how our imams, the infallible imams, made their du'as and prayers. Because they were the best. And Allah has given us them as role models. They're right. Our role models, and we need to follow. And alhamdulillah, we have Sahifiyya Sajjadiyya, how to talk to God. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's such a piece of soul.
Yeah, exactly. And also, the other thing is that when I think of praying and the role of praying in different cultures, in our own culture, I come to this question that why do people turn to prayer? I mean, the very first basic question. We're Muslims. We know that we mm-hmm. have Allah available. We have him next to us. We have him close to our heart. But what is the reason that some countries are overdoing it and some other ones are not? Like you mentioned, you perfectly mentioned that some countries forget.
Yes.
And they feel like they have everything. The burden is on their own shoulder and they have to bear it. But why do we start praying from the very first notion of praying and doing du'as?
I think it's because we know how helpless we can be and how amazing life could be. So that's when we need a bigger hand to protect us.
Right.
Something bigger to help us get through this life. For example, I want that goal, which is very possible. It is possible, but yet we know that there can be problems that I don't see yet. There can be flaws that I have that I don't know yet. So when I find myself helpless, this is how I think Allah has created us, to go back to him and talk to him. This is
so
in our
true.
Nature. I believe this is in our nature to seek help, but not from people. To seek help from God, from that one that knows and has the power.
So beautiful. And this is the role of prayer. Like, as for me, I can say that prayer reconnects me to meaning and comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the meaning that I cannot see, that perception that I can't find it on myself. If I even overthink and do lots of things to try to solve a problem, I cannot find that pleasure that I find once I start talking to him. Once I tell him about the problem, once I ask him for help, this is the place where I can find the meaning of the problem, the meaning of life, the meaning of myself as the creation of Allah. And the other thing is this comfort. I mean, there we feel safe.
Yes.
We feel private. We feel that no one is going to interrupt us. No one is going mm-hmm. to hurt us. And no information is going to be spread. So this is the comfort zone for us. This is the place where mm-hmm. we feel that everything is okay for you.
And how beautiful it is that yeah. we are allowed to make dua and talk to God whenever, wherever. Have you ever heard God telling you, oh, do not talk to me, for example, at that time, or don't talk to me when you are sinful? The opposite we see, he calls his people, come. He welcomes us however we are. And, you know, it reminds me of one verse in the Quran, Surah Ghafir, verse 60, where he clearly says, call upon me, I will respond to you. He will respond to us. And that's
yeah.
such a comfort. Like, girl, God is listening.
Knowing that he is there. He's not going to just postpone you or not answer you or answer you in a way that you don't deserve. Like many of our friends, maybe they're so busy.
Yes.
We message them, we tell them the problem, and they are just like answering us so that they have answered. But when it comes to Allah, we know that the response that we're going to receive is the true essence
yes.
of meaning and the thing that we need.
It is the best response that
yeah.
we can ever get.
So true. And also in Sahifa Sajjadiyya, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam had said, God loves the voice of his servants calling him. He loves the way we're talking to him. And even he says, if you have done 100 sins, come back to me. Come back to me even if you are that criminal, I don't know, that wrongdoer.
Yes.
Still, I'm waiting for you with open arms. So this is the beauty of just reciting dua and
mm-hmm.
just praying for him.
And it never gets boring, because
yeah.
if you're a child, you're asking for a candy. If you're older, you're asking for something even bigger. And if your soul has grown enough, you're asking for those stages of heaven that
so
normal
true.
People cannot even think of. And it's something that you can always use.
Yeah, so beautiful.
Never gets boring.
And now that we know that we have to do prayer for
yes.
our own selves, let's go for a short break and then let's name some different sources of prayer. If I'm a Muslim and I love to do du'as, I love to be connected to my Creator, What are the sources available that can help?
This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, and we're going to now name some different sources that can help us. What are the sources regarding the Islamic rich source of the du'as and prayers? One of them, as you mentioned, Sahifa Sajjadiyya.
Yes.
This is the book in which our great imam is teaching us even the phrases, even the words, even different ways and different places at which we can pray.
It's a ready-made template that we can go and reference to it. They're easy words, and they show you how creative, beautiful, and lovely you can talk to God. It's just interesting. You need to just go visit yourself to understand the beauty of it. We can have a whole separate topic about it. And other thing that I think is very useful is the Holy Quran, because it by itself has, Allah has taught us how to pray. Rabbi zidni ilma. It is telling us, oh God, increase my knowledge. God is telling me, what should I ask for? So sometimes we are like, okay, I am ready to ask God, but I don't know what to ask. This gate is open.
Or I don't know how to ask.
Yes. So everything is there. Beautiful. There are so many du'as inside there. There are also some du'as that Allah in the Quran is telling us, how should we pray for our parents? Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbiyani saghira. These are so beautiful. Simple, easy, pinpointed.
Yeah, exactly. Also, Nahjul Balagha, the great book of Imam Ali alayhi salam. There, Imam Ali is telling us about every perspective of life, the way he prayed, the way he lived, the way he lived his own life. And there we can get lessons that we can never find. We can never find on ourselves. We can see experiences that they could have not come to us normally. So regarding the Islamic context, we have the Holy Book of Quran, we have Sahifa Sajjadiyya, we have Nahjul Balagha. Also, our du'as, I mean, we have du'a kumail, the kind of du'a that is prepared for us, that in which we supplicate and we pray to Allah, and the beautiful phrases mentioned. There we have the quotes, we have the ways to call him and ask him for advice and help.
It can really give us the great meaning of worshipping.
Exactly. And regarding the role of du'a and prayer, now that we know the source, we know that we need them, what is the emotional role of du'a? I mean, have you experienced this? This happens to me, that I felt it's the end of the world.
Yes.
I felt it's the worst thing that could have ever happened to
me. It's breaking me.
Yeah. And then I pray. I do my even normal prayer. And then at the end, I talk to Allah.
Yes.
I tell him about this. Lovely. And I kind of free myself of all those negative energy, and then I feel it wasn't that bad.
Yes. You know what? We have tawakkul in Islam.
It's like we are recharged.
You know, because we have tawakkul in Islam, this is, you know, the other face of it, if I would like to rephrase it in my own little words. When I pray, I know that, okay, now I clearly mentioned my problem to God. He is there. Now I am leaving the part that is not in my hand in his hand. So this tawakkul, oh beautiful God, such a relief. And you know, these all sounds words until you face a problem where you're helpless and you can't do much. And all you can do is, you know, trust Allah. And once you experience it, you're going to understand. And if you have experienced, you can totally relate with me how lovely it is, that sense of relief.
And also Islam makes this connection more beautiful by asking us to pray for others as well.
Beautiful.
I mean, we are supposed to be brothers and sisters, be next to each other, know about our even neighbors, and then pray for them. Even the role models of Islam would have gone for the prayer for other people first, then for themselves.
Like how Lady Fatima said, "Ajar thumma dar," first pray for others.
Exactly. And this is the lesson of Islam. Islam is teaching us even the process. The correct process is that we have to be aware of our friends, of our brothers, our sisters, and even pray for them. And even in Islam, we have this tradition that if we pray for each other, the effect will be even blessed.
Yes.
The effect will be more.
Yeah, it's, you know, that we have heard that pray from a tongue that you have not committed any sin. which means pray for each other. I should pray for you and you shall pray for me.
Yeah, exactly. And even in our recitations, in our dua and phrases of the prayer, we pray for our imams and prophet as well. See,
how lovely.
We are having this family of Islam. This ritual is teaching us that we have to be aware of even our basis to the end.
And if Allah has not told us, guided us, we would never, you know, dare to pray for them. We would be like, oh my God, who am I? Who am I to pray for these infallible imam? What am I? But then God is giving us this sense of being. You can and you may pray for others, for even imam.
Yeah, and this is probably the answer to the thing that we started today's episode with. Why are different cultures having their own way, having their own language, their own traditions of praying and doing dua? So it's nice that every culture has unique spiritual expressions.
Or not nice in some situations.
Yeah, for sure.
We have experienced those not nice. If you are by any chance in some sort of society or surrounded with people that are giving you a bit, I don't want to say toxic, but, you know, not what Allah has asked us, you don't have to wait for them to change. You can be the change. So make prayer, but that does not mean that you should not take any step, and you're not alone.
Well, that was all for today's episode. Until the next time we meet, we wish you great pray. Remember us in your prayer as well. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Just thinking.